Please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our reading this morning comes from the 28th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning at the 23rd verse. And just so you know, I'm going to change it a little bit so we know who we're talking about, because the "they" refers to an earlier part of Acts. So, after the leaders of the Jews set a day to meet with Paul, they came to him at his lodgings in great numbers. From morning until evening, he explained the matter to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some were convinced by what he had said, while others refused to believe. So they disagreed with each other, and as they were leaving, Paul made one further statement. "The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your ancestors through the prophet Isaiah, 'Go to this people and say, you will indeed listen but never understand, and you will indeed look but never perceive. For the people's heart has grown dull, and their eyes and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with the heart and turn, and I would heal them. Let it be known to you then that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.'" Here ends our reading. Please be seated. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for this day, for you've called, gathered us together in this place where it is good to be. And in this place, Lord, you enlighten us and sanctify us for your service to the world. Lord, bless now the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to begin this morning with a quiz. Not much of a quiz, but a little bit of a quiz. And I really don't expect you to answer it. But there are 2 things, 2 points, or 2 elements missing this morning in our scripture reading. Do you know what they are? The first point is this. We're concluding our series on Acts as we move into November and then eventually December and moving into Advent and Christmas and that. But we're concluding our series on Acts, and what chapter did I preach on last week on Acts? Anybody remember? Wasn't it the 9th chapter? Okay. And this week we're preaching on what chapter? What happened to 10 through 27? A lot? Chapters 10 through 27, in essence, really are what? What happens in 10 through 27? Chapter 9 is Paul or Saul's conversion as being the worst persecutor of the early church possible, renamed Paul, and he is converted. Chapters 10 through 27 and into 28 begin what? What's Paul doing? Paul's out traveling. He's on 3 journeys. And what else do we call that period? We call it the epistles of Paul. Paul's out running around going to where? Ephesus, Colossae, Philippi, Thessalonica, eventually ending up in Rome. We read about Paul's journeys all the time. And so we have leapt from chapter 9, dealing with his conversion and life, to chapter 28. So I encourage you to go back and read those epistles and that history of the early church, because that's what it covers. It covers Paul going out and meeting with early members of the community, talking and engaging them where they are at in their faith and in their communities. The same message in each place, but adapting that message to the circumstances in which they are living. Paul proclaimed it to the Corinthians one way, same message that he proclaimed to the church in Philippi or Thessalonica. Same message, just maybe a different approach to what was going on. And so that's what happens in those verses. That's what takes place in those chapters. Essentially, that's what the New Testament beyond the Gospels happens to be. So go and read that and take a look at that. Because in those places, at that time, Paul was placed there to give encouragement, instruction, direction for all of them with the things that they were setting place. In fact, Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 9, says to them, "I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." What does that mean? Do you tell the same message, but do it differently depending on your audience? Isn't that what Paul was doing? If he went and he was meeting with some of them and they didn't eat certain foods, did he complain about what he was eating? No, he ate what was put before him and proclaimed the same message. In other words, where Paul was planted, he used that situation to bloom with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Same thing that we're called to do, right? You ever been placed in a situation where, oh Lord, why'd you put me here? How do I bloom in that particular situation? And then somehow the gift of the Holy Spirit comes and you bloom. Not by your doing, but by what was done. You ever tried teaching? And you're teaching elementary school, and then you move to middle school, and then to high school. Does the same methods work with the different people? It's what Paul was doing with the church. He changed his methodology. He changed how he could reach them and how they could go about. It didn't change. It began in prayer, and even what we heard this morning, he used scripture. He tried to convince the leaders of the Jews who had come to see him based off of what? The law and the prophets. He spoke their language and took it to them. Now, some were convinced and some weren't. Not his problem, not his role. His role was to do what? Tell the story. And that's what our goal is. That's what we're all about, is telling the story, proclaiming the kingdom of God, of Jesus Christ, where we are planted. And where are we planted? Where are you planted right now? Hollywood, California? First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood? Located at the corner of Carlos and Gower? Has the message ever changed from here? No. Since 1903, been rooted in prayer and scripture, and the message gone forth. And what does that look like over the years? It's looked like, well, let's see, you had radio ministry going, right? In fact, if you go up into the office that they allow me to occupy, I was up there and asking him one time, what was the way it was designed on the back, what's this all for? Oh, that's for when we had radio ministry, because they'd broadcast. What else did it look like there for a while? Do you have television cameras in here? Things changed, didn't they? Went from radio to television. Blooming where you are planted. What else has happened here in along those regards? Lord's Lighthouse, right? We heard about Lord's Lighthouse this morning. Meeting the needs of the people with the message of Jesus Christ where they are at. We see it in our Sunday school. We see it in our preschool. We see it through groups like Grief Share. Meeting people where they are at. Telling them the gospel of Jesus Christ, of Christ crucified, died and risen from the dead, ascended into heaven so that we might have eternal life, that we might be new, whole, refreshed, rejuvenated. We see it through our global mission support with missionaries around the world. We even see it through, as I was talking to somebody this past week, at Actors Co-op. Think about this for a moment. And I didn't put it in perspective until they told me the numbers. Actors Co-op brings how many more people to this campus a year? And I know Mac can't answer because he's the one who told me. And I went and did my own calculation. Do you know Actors Co-op draws, what is it, between 7,500 and 10,000 people to this campus annually? That's ministry. That's meeting people where they're at and what's going on. But throughout time and the history that we have here, as we've been planted and we bloom, things change. Things change throughout times and that. And they changed for Paul. They changed for Paul. And he shows us that example in his own life and in our reading today. How does he do that? We know he's been out. He's done his three missionary journeys. He's been out running around the world. He's moved the gospel from being centered in Acts 1 through 8 in Jerusalem and its proclamation there with Peter and the others to now Saul, who is Paul, and moved it out into where? The surrounding area, into Greece, into other places. He's gone and bloomed where he has been planted. Now, that kind of doesn't segue real well, but we're at our second point. What's the second missing element or point in our scripture reading? Now, if you took out your pew Bibles, you can if you want, you don't have to. If you took out your pew Bibles and you opened to chapter 28 in Acts and you look at how we've added versification over the years to how the text was written, you'll notice that there's one thing missing. And you have to look at the numbers. 26, 27, 28, 30, 31. Where's 29? Verse 29 isn't there. Verse 29 only appears in some other manuscripts. And it's a verse that basically reminds us that the Jews that had gathered together there went away arguing with each other, some who had accepted and some who had not. But what's more amazing to me is not that that verse isn't there, or that they're arguing about whether Paul's message was accurate or not. But what's more amazing to me is that they, remember in verse 23, they came to see Paul. The leaders of the Jews arranged for a time to come see Paul. Where's Paul? He's in prison. Why is Paul in prison? He's been preaching the gospel throughout the land, and they've arrested him, and now they've thrown him into jail. He's basically under house arrest because we learn he paid his own way while he was in prison. Okay? He's in prison. He has been planted in prison by the Lord. And what's he doing in prison? He's preaching. He's telling people about the kingdom in heaven and God. Now, if you were in prison, what would you do? Would you be preaching like Paul? Or would you be doing like what I probably would be doing is going, how am I going to survive this? Woe is me. But Paul takes where he has been planted and uplifts Jesus Christ in the midst of the land where he's at. He changes not his message, but maybe his location and the methodology in which he is preaching and where he's at. No different than if you're a teacher. You approach students different and you meet them where they are at. What's going on with them? What are they doing? I learned that really early when I was in the Navy. You deal with where you're at and the environment that you're at or in. When I had my first tour with the Marine Corps, what did I do? We have the option as naval personnel serving with them to go Marine Corps regulation. So I did. I lived with a high and tight, did their physical fitness training and their exams, and wore their uniforms. Was it more work? Yeah. Their physical fitness is a little bit more demanding than the Navy's because of what they do. But that's what I did. Did I do it to fit in? Somewhat. Could I become a Marine? No. In fact, I got into the habit when we were in Okinawa, Japan, I got my hair cut every week, whether it needed it or not. But that's what you do. I had the opportunity at one point, the Navy SEAL said, we want you to go to jump school. I did more pastoral care, more sharing the gospel, sitting on an airplane with a parachute on my back than I ever did walking around a compound or a campus. Now that could have to do with fear in everybody's eyes. But that's where it's at. And then it doesn't just happen with us where we're at in that. But has anybody been ministered to by somebody else that's blooming based off of where they're planted? In the first congregations I served, I had bought myself a brand new Bible. And it was wintertime, so I was up doing my normal routine, getting ready for church and worship. And lo and behold, here's my Bible, and there goes my cup of coffee on top of it. And my response is, will I ever be able to read it again? Will I ever be able to get it dried out again? Can I ever use it again? And I shared that story at church that morning at the first service, and one of my fifth graders at that time walks up to me and goes, well, once it dries out and all that, I know it's going to be stained, Pastor, but can you still read it? Yeah. Okay, then. What's your problem, essentially? I was reminded and ministered at that point of what the truth really was and where it was laying. We are called to bloom where we are planted. You and I are called to bloom by God where we are planted. You're planted here at First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood. You're planted here to do the ministry of Jesus Christ in and amongst ourselves, but also to the world beyond our doors and our gates. And we talked about that ministry, how it's been done in the past, but what does that ministry look like for tomorrow? What does that ministry look like in the 21st century? Which seems odd to say because we're almost two decades since Y2K. What does that look like? What are those challenges? That challenge is a leap into the future for many people. It's a leap that many people have already done and are working with and very comfortable with, but maybe not so comfortable with us where we're at. But we're called to bloom where we are planted, to make and use those things that were given to proclaim the gospel to the world. So does that look like increasing our use of social media? From Twitter to Instagram, not just a website, but being interactive with those who use that media. Who uses that media? Who's on social media? You know, you use the internet, that's one way, but it goes beyond that. I mean, does it mean looking at even creating our own app for the church to hang stuff for where people can go? Because that's how people are communicating. That's how people are working today. It changes maybe what we're doing, but it doesn't change the message. The message to everybody as we've entered into that season of giving that we're talking about is, it's good to be here. Why is it good to be here? If somebody came up to you and said, you go to First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood and you say it's good to be there, why is it good to be there? What would you tell them? Family, friends, fellowship, being a community, being one with one another? What do you tell them? That's what we use the media for. It's getting that message out because we have been planted here. And we are called to proclaim that message and to use the gifts that we have, the gifts that we're doing all the time. We're called to bloom where we are planted. We're called to seize the opportunities that are put before us. Opportunities that proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bloom where you are planted. Don't be afraid to let people know where you're at. If Paul can do it in prison, I think you and I can do it today. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.